Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Ah, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Billy the Brain, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County, or you can hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people have to say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, then you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right, with the emphasis on the right. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, 639-0008. And before we get into the show, big shout out to all of my listeners. I was just doing some recapping over the weekend. We have listeners now in 37 states plus the District of Columbia around the United States, so thank you to that. And big shout out to Denise, Roberta, Paul, and Bill. You know who you are. You're regular listeners to the show. And a shout out to the anonymous caller who called just before we went on the air with the kind words about the Freeman Michaels Show and about Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. For regular listeners, you know every show has a theme, and today's theme is Things to Love About America. And at first glance, my first guest may seem like a stretch when you think about today's theme. He's an authority on one of the most heinous crimes in the Tri-Counties in the past decade. Allegedly, Jesse James Hollywood abducted and murdered a 15-year-old Nicholas Markowitz to repay a drug debt owed by Nicholas's half-brother Benjamin. The murder took place in Santa Barbara County. Now, this is not necessarily one of the things that you want to love about America, but if you look beneath the surface, however, this story shows what's both good and bad about the American judicial system, and the American judicial system is definitely one of the things to love about America. Michael Mijas is a writer and attorney. He lives here in Ventura County. His first novel, Stolen Boy, is a psychological thriller that traces the adolescent mind of the young killer, Jesse James Hollywood. Michael attended Pepperdine University in the 80s. He obtained his JD degree from Pepperdine University of Law in 1988. In the 1990s, Michael turned his attention and divided his energies as screenwriter and as a freelance journalist. In 2003, he teamed up with writer-director Nick Cassavetes and became the associate producer of the movie Alpha Dog, a major motion picture starring Justin Timberlake, Bruce Willis, and Sharon Stone. Michael now speaks publicly and writes about pressing social issues, including teen rights and the abolition of the death penalty. Welcome to the studio, Michael. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great. What a great day to be here, and thanks for having me here, Brian.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you here, and thank you so much for being our guest. Today's theme is Things to Love About America, and you really have to look at the American judicial system as one of those great things. Now, your first book, the book that you wrote about the Jesse James Hollywood trial, first tell us, how did you come to write about such a gruesome murder?
Well, it was kind of funny because I was approached, funny in a strange way, not a silly way or a humorous way. But my old high school friend, actually before high school, Nick Cassavetes, we grew up together in the Hollywood Hills, and we played sports together, and we fought together, and we partied together. Then we kind of went off on our different ways. We rode the edge of right and wrong for many years through that time. I graduated from Hollywood High School right on the edge. Nick went to North Hollywood High School right on that edge. And every time we were together, we were like a combustible concoction that was just waiting to create something very dangerous and edgy and chancy, but we both survived that period. We went on our own ways, and I became a lawyer and then a writer. Nick went on to become a famous filmmaker. During that time period, we couldn't help and avoid the headlines around 2000 of this extraordinary crime that took place. This kid, 15-year-old kid, kidnapped by kids in West Hills, the San Fernando Valley. They trudge through Oxnard, and they trudge through Ventura, and they go up to Santa Barbara, and they party for 3 days. And then suddenly a 15-year-old's body is found a week later. And these headlines bombarded us on the news as the facts started to come out about these 15 and 17 and 18 and 19 and 20 year olds who were involved in this, and what happened, how they were involved, and where their parents were in these six families that were absolutely destroyed in these interrelationships. Nick's daughter went to high school and kind of caught on to the mythology at El Camino Real High School in the San Fernando Valley, of this myth of Jesse James Hollywood, who disappeared into ether in 2000 and no, in 2000,
in 2000
not
yes.
long after the crime. Mm-hmm. So he approached me in 2003, said he wanted to make a movie out of it. I'm a lawyer here. I'm a writer. I'm his old best buddy. Okay, so I jump on the project. As I launch myself into the project, I realize, why did Nick Cassavetes come and get me to bring me onto this project? Because we had to explore what we were about.
Ah, okay.
This was us when we were kids. These guys played Little League together. We played Pop Warner basketball together. These guys went very far out of bounds and destroyed their families' lives. We nearly went out of bounds and destroyed our families' lives. We survived that as we were kids. Not in a deceitful, menacing, violent way, but an anger-filled, young, white male way.
Okay. Now, that's very interesting. So you saw parallels between these young murderers and what you saw growing up. And don't you think that's just part and parcel of being a young male in any society, but particularly here in the American society?
Absolutely. I think a young, angry male is very common. I think we breed them here in the United States.
More than other places?
Of all colors. No, not necessarily. I've seen them all over the world. I mean, you look at what's going. I mean, you look at the child soldiers and child warriors of Asia, of Africa, and you know it's indoctrinated in youth everywhere, in young male youth, as they're removed and deprived of that childhood and put into some false body of responsibility. We weren't ready, Nick and I weren't ready to grow up. We were ready to be kids and party and live out these fantasies, what these kids were doing to it. Jesse James Hollywood, Jesse Ruge, William Skidmore, Ryan Hoyt, what they were doing. They were kids. I don't look at them as murderers. I mean, they're convicted killers. There's no question about it. But I look at them as kids who didn't get the right guidance at the right age, didn't learn the power behind their ability to create in life. Their energy was put into negativity, and it fueled negativity from a primal fear, which led them to killing a 15-year-old girl, a 15-year-old boy, to cover that up. So it was kind of exploring that and understanding where they went wrong, the consciousness aspects of where they went wrong, of that dysfunction passed down from their parents. And to tell you the truth, like Nick and I know I did, and I think Nick did also, learned a lot about this is what happened to us, this is where we survived it, and this is what happens to kids when kids are raised under that environment without the lack of proper parenting or conditioning, whether it's from the school, the church, the home. And it's out there, and it's prevalent, and it's everywhere.
Wow. We're talking to Michael Mijas, everybody, author of the book Stolen Boy, also producer of the movie Alpha Dog, and that's what I want to focus. You and Nick, your co-producer on this thing, turned your energies to making a film out of this. Now, you've told us some of the background and the whys of where you got to it, but why did you feel this story needed to be told on film, and what did you get out of making the film?
Again, initially the project was brought to me as a film. Ultimately, the book spun from the film project. But as I say, it was a moral tale, and one of the main aspects or the themes that run through both Stolen Boy and Alpha Dog and the real life story is parenting, and the lack of responsible parenting, the lack of ability to communicate, the generational gap that allowed Nick Markowitz, a 15-year-old boy, to get into a fight with his parents, run away from home, and while he's running away from home, he gets picked up by Jesse James Hollywood, who is doing the wrong thing because Jesse James Hollywood is living in fear because Nick Markowitz's brother had scared the H-E-L bejesus out of Jesse James Hollywood with threats, so Jesse James needed to retaliate. He didn't know where Ben Markowitz was. All he knew was where Ben Markowitz used to live at his parents. He was on his way to break out Ben's parents' windows, which Ben had just done to Jesse with leaving some very threatening messages, and there's Nick walking down the street who Jesse knew, gets picked up just like that. But again, failure, for parenting and upright understanding on how to deal with adult issues that these children could not deal with led to that confrontation.
A very disturbing moral tale. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, 639-0008. We're talking to Michael Mihas, everybody, author of the book Stolen Boy, about the Jesse James Hollywood murder and then subsequent trial. Your book was very instrumental in the trial, wasn't it, Michael? In fact, your defense, Jesse James Hollywood's defense attorney came to you and wanted to stop the movie originally, but then started to use your book in the trial. Tell us about how it became such an instrumental part of the trial.
Well, what was funny is what my book was a compliment to the film. I helped put the story together. I helped Nick with the screenplay. Nick went off and made the movie. Then I got all this incredible information from Ron Zonin, the prosecutor of it, who at the same time was prosecuting Michael Jackson, this little blues singer out of, on the other side of the hills over there in Santa Barbara. So the book, what happened is I became the world's greatest official of the trial of Jesse James's case because I'd gotten all the information from Ron Zonin, the prosecutor, who wanted to make a global wanted poster out of the movie and the book, because Jesse James Hollywood, when we first met with Ron Zonin in 2003, was missing. He wasn't captured until 2005. He was gone almost 5 years. So I had gotten all of the prosecutor's materials, I'd gotten all the trial transcripts, and we created the screenplay, and then what I needed to do was I needed to address motivation and character within the book, because the movie, again, was made through images. Films are told through images. Books are generally told through the interior monologue perspective, the interior evolution of a character, so to speak. So I got inside these kids' heads. What motivated them? What prompted them? What fear conditioned their action into kidnapping this kid, partying with him for 3 days, thinking and planning on taking him home until the very end, when the darkness of overconsumption of alcohol, too much pot smoking, too many cigarettes, and too much fear, inbred fear that they couldn't climb out of because they were too drunk to be able to climb out of this suppressive fear thing. And ultimately, they made this decision to do the wrong thing, which they got caught of after a week, and they all went to prison, some of them for life, some of them getting the death penalty.
It's a very salacious story. We're talking to Michael Mihas, everybody, author of the book Stolen Boy. When we come back, Michael, we're going to have to take a short break, but when we do come back, I want to kind of run down the details. People may have forgotten it over the intervening 5 or 6 years that have happened since then. So let's go down the details of the trial, but save that. We'll be right back after these few messages.
And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What? Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Billy the Brain. You're listening to Brainstorming, just as we are every day, on from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock in the morning here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Today's theme for the show is Things to Love About America, and we're exploring the American judicial system with my special in-studio guest, Michael Mihas. We're talking about the very famous trial of Jesse James Hollywood that happened right here in the Tri-Counties area. And before we went to break, Michael, I'd asked you, let's just run down the details, because this trial was fascinating on so many levels, but the part that caught my interest was Jesse James Hollywood was the youngest man ever on the FBI's most wanted list. So kind of run us through the details of the trial, because you were the official keeper of most, if not all, of the information about this heinous crime.
Well, it was really fascinating. I mean, it was fascinating for somebody who appreciates the legal arena and what can happen, because there was so much of first impression on this legally. So there have been an amazing amount of, say, motions filed that are going to be appealed, and there's going to be a lot of issues run through the appellate courts, and I would imagine some law is going to be created through that process. But one thing that's really kind of interesting, too, is that this was the first case where you had a full-fledged movie come out about a crime before the kid could go to trial. Not only did we have a full-fledged movie come out, but we had a full-fledged book come out that was designed to show the motivation and the character behind these kids and what they really did. One of the things and one of the important aspects that led to me writing the book, you got to remember something. I was brought on to help with the film, to help Nick Cassavetes put the screenplay together and help get the movie made. It didn't come up until later on that I got this material from the prosecutor in Santa Barbara, Ron Zonin, where I got his entire file, where I interviewed detectives. Detective Mike West is one of them, the lead detective on the murder case. And one of the things that very much concerned me in getting involved in this was the aspect was that the killer, the shooter who committed the murder, was on death row. He was a kid who had never committed a crime, who had never been convicted of a crime before in his life. He had never been arrested before. I was very concerned that Jesse James Hollywood, because he was labeled the youngest man ever on the FBI's most wanted list, 15-year-old kid murdered, headlines that said revenge killing for a drug debt, that he was going to get death without anybody ever hearing the truth of what happened, because nobody, everybody thought they knew the truth from these headlines. So it was very important, once I saw the angle that Nick Cassavetes was going to take, and there were some, again, you can only do so much on a 110-minute film. There was other aspects of that story that I had to tell, and that's what led me to write the book. I needed to create a public record on what happened, because remember, I had the files, I had the transcripts, I had more than any party involved in it. Mr. Blatt finally got his file completed after he had a chance to learn what was in my file. I wouldn't give it to him, but I would tell him what he doesn't have that might help save his client's life, so he could go to the prosecutor and demand to get it, which ultimately he did. But to me, that was the biggest aspect. And you want to talk about our judicial system.
I do.
And it ties back around that, Bill. To me, this justice worked here. I never, and a lot of people attacked me just because I spoke up for kids who are in trouble. There's a lot of troubled kids out there. There's Brandon McInerney in Ventura, who was accused of killing a 15-year-old kid in school at 14 years old, and they want to try him as an adult and put him away for the rest of his life. 51 mm-hmm. years in adult prison. He'll be dead. He'll never get out. To me, that's not justice, but it's not put down. It is part of the justice system, but that rests with the prosecutor. That decision will never go to a judge. A judge will never, a juvenile court judge will never have a chance to decide what Brandon McInerney can do. It is strictly within the prosecutor's hands. I was very concerned that going back again to this Jesse James Hollywood case, that because of the record or the creation of the stigma of Jesse James Hollywood doing this revenge killing, that he'd never get his day in court, he would get the death penalty. And so because of that, I had to create this record. Out of this record in this book that I had created, a lot of people came down and attacked me for being against victims all over the place. If you're propounding that we consider this killer's rights, you must be talking against victimhood. And the truth is that that's not where I'm coming from. I've been a defense attorney, and I know how difficult it is to put their story out there, how difficult it is to make the defense's version of it relevant to the child or the person that was murdered. I couldn't do it in the court of law, but I could do it through my book. Everybody is talking about death. Everybody is attacking me. Everybody is saying, Jesse, do we just string his butt up and not give him a day in court? But you know what? After all was said and done, I felt that what was allowed to happen through the process was it was allowed to air out. A book came out. A film came out. Jesse James Hollywood wasn't this scary person that prosecutors made him out to be. This was Jesse James Hollywood. Hey, he's a punk. He did something wrong, but he could have been your punk. He could have been my punk. He could have been me when I was growing up. And do we not give him a second chance? The bottom line is the judicial system found him guilty, which he was. I never said he wasn't guilty. You read my book, and you know what I thought he did in that story.
Absolutely.
But the bottom line is he's also got life in prison. He's got the chance to survive. He's got the chance to transform, and he's got the chance to change younger people who come up through that system and get locked away. In that regard, I think the system worked.
Well, I would agree with you, and this is such an interesting case, not only because the judicial system worked, but you talked only so briefly about the personal accusations that came your way. When you actually had all of this information about the Jesse James Hollywood trial, you were on the horns of a dilemma. On the one hand, you were the keeper of all of this knowledge, but by the same token, if you turn over all of this knowledge, that puts you in a very difficult place. So talk about the personal decisions, some of the personal anguish that you had to go through during this trial.
So Jesse James Hollywood gets captured in 2005. His dad, I've interviewed his dad several times for the film, for the storyline purposes for the film and for my book. His dad knows I've got everything. Jesse is captured. He's taken in Santa Barbara. His dad has hired Jim Blatt, who's a very famous trial attorney in Los Angeles. Blatt immediately contacts me, wants to meet with me. We meet up at Jerry's Delicatessen in Encino. Jack Hollywood, James Blatt, and myself. And I'm going in there for information on my book. I'm in control here. I'm going to go after Mr. Blatt. Little did I know. Mr. Blatt had an alternative plan. Mr. Blatt knew I had everything, and what he had to do was fish that out, and he ultimately did. Ultimately, he fished it out and let me know that right now his client was in a very dire situation, a very difficult case, and he needed my help to try to save his client's life. I was the only one with the entire file who knew what was going on. Nick Cassavetes, again, I put everything together for the film people. They had what I had. They had what I had processed through it. I knew that the story about Jesse James Hollywood had not truthfully been told and may not be told. But in this regard, I was the one person who could testify in court and could possibly save Jesse James Hollywood's life. So I called up Ron Zonin and I told him, I spoke with Mr. Blatt and he wants my information. Mr. Zonin was not happy with me.
Mr. Zonin is also a personal friend at this point, too.
He was.
So that's important to know, because now you're talking about personal ties and everything else. So you go to Ron, you tell him that you've been propositioned by the defense attorney. He's not happy for understandable reasons. What happens next?
Yeah, he's not, and it is understandable. And I felt not really good about the position I was in, because in essence, during that conversation, it came out that him giving me all the records from those four other defendants' cases and the investigation for Jesse James Hollywood's case might have been illegal. So in essence, what that does, that puts me in this position, might have been illegal, means he might be prosecuted. He might be prosecuted, and his entire office might be prosecuted for giving me this confidential materials. For, again, initially for the film, then as I get this, we're seeing, oh my God, I'm getting stuff that we're not going to be able to put into the film that may need to come out. My personal file is growing. My information background is going. The need for people to get information from me. Remember, I was subpoenaed three times in this trial, once by the prosecutor and twice by the defense. I faced going to jail three times because I did not want to turn anything over to anybody. I had to hire my own attorney. I was ordered by the court to turn over my notes. All of that led to the case being appealed all the way up to the California Supreme Court. But in the interim, I'm faced with a decision. Do I testify and help try to save Jesse James Hollywood's life, feeling at that point that all the weight's on my shoulders because nobody can tell the truth because they don't have the material that I do? By doing that, do I betray my friend Ron Zonin, who had been as kind as you can be, wanted to create a global wanted poster because he wanted to do the right thing. He wanted to convict all the murderers of this 15-year-old kid. I was not going to betray my friend Ron Zonin, even though it was the opportunity to save Jesse James Hollywood life, and even though I felt it was all on my shoulders, so I declined to testify. At that point, Mr. Blatt just wanted me to do a declaration, and I also felt a problem about that, because if I did a declaration for him, it prevented the prosecution from being able to question me, which was very ironic, Bill, because ultimately when I did agree to testify, I went in there and the prosecution felt that defense hadn't made enough of a record of what I said, so they refused to cross-examine me anyway. So I could have saved myself a lot of trouble and just done the declaration to start with instead of them grinding me over the grill of testifying. I was very good at cross-examining others, but I'm not real good when subjected to cross-examination.
Oh, I can imagine. What a horns of a dilemma to be on. We're talking to Michael Mias, everybody. He's the author of the book Stolen Boy. Clearly, a lot of information went into this. Michael, if people want to know more about the story, about the Jesse James Hollywood trial, how can they find out more? Where can they get your book? Where can they see the movie Alpha Dog?
I would rent Alpha Dog. You can buy Stolen Boy anywhere. You can order it through Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, if I can say that on the radio.
Oh, absolutely.
My websites are StolenBoy.com. My blog is on StolenBoy.com, which I finished last year, but you can find a lot of my work with troubled youth and families and collective consciousness transformation. I also have a website where I talk a lot about the Jesse James Hollywood case at MichaelMihas.com. And the book has won nine writing awards. It's a very good book, but it's tough. It's about kids hurting kids, and it's about family betraying themselves.
It is, but I think in the end, just like the theme for today, Things to Love About America, you have to love the way in which the judicial system worked here in the United States, despite all the hardship it put you through, despite all the hardship it put, well, everybody through, and in the end, justice was served, and that's an important thing.
Everybody else is moving on in life, and that's really an important facet. They're not locked in that anymore. We can all move forward.
That's right. We've been talking to Michael Mijas, everybody, author of the book Stolen Boy, a local Ventura author, by the way, so congratulations to you for that.
Thank you.